If you have your Bibles, turn with me this morning to Luke chapter 9, starting with verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell which are at home in my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. Priorities is the title of the message this morning. And it tells us, suffer me first. And then it also tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Life is a matter of choices. And all of us this morning are confronted with choices, decisions that we're going to have to make in our life. Life is a matter of priorities. And the quality of our living is determined by the things to which we give first place in our life. With too many of us, the first becomes last and the last becomes first. And I think it's obvious with all that we all have a need sometimes to rearrange our priorities. What's really important? Brethren, you're just passing through this world. I want you to understand that. You're not going to stay here forever. And one of these days, we're going to leave here, and it behooves us to make sure that we're ready for that departure. Amen. And the Bible tells us that it's seek you first, not suffer me first. Christ never comes next. Never comes next. He's always to be first. Well, the uncounted cost. There was one, he was kind of described as a hasty disciple. He said, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, there's not any real discernment here. Maybe it's more of an emotional thing. But he uses that word whithersoever. Lord, I will go with you anywhere you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. Lord, I'm committed to being your disciple and following you. An impulsive statement. He had received the word of God with joy. And yet he had no depth of root within himself. And when the storms began to come in his life and when the sun began to beat down on the plan of his life, he withered and he fell away. Note the words, I will. This implies that he is standing in his own strength. And when we do this, we find out that our own strength is really weakness. But when we have his strength, our weakness is made strong. The Lord's reply is, Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. Now, Jesus sends this man to self-review. He wanted him to understand some things in his life. If he was going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe he had seen many of the miracles that Jesus Christ performed. And maybe he thought within himself that if I follow Jesus, And he's going to perform all of these miracles. He saw a chance for self-advancement, saw a chance for him to maybe make money and have prosperity. But Jesus stated to him that I'm the poorest of all. You see, he stated unto him that he had no shelter, permanent shelter. He had no home that he could call his own. Wouldn't it be awful to live in life and not have anything? But Jesus Christ came and he condescended and he robed himself with human flesh, and he could have called for thousands of angels to come and minister to him. He could have called and had all the gold and silver because it was his anyway. But he chose to be a servant. He was going to Jerusalem not to live but to die. This is why he came. This is why that the Bible said in the beginning of time that even before that, that he had already determined that he loved us enough that he was willing to take our place on the cross of Calvary and die for our sins. The time had come, the fullness of time, when Jesus Christ was going to fulfill that commitment that he had made. And nothing would hinder him from doing the will of God. Now, he is our example this morning. Nothing should ever hinder us from doing the will of God. God's will is the most important thing in our life. We go through life, we work and we do, and we take care of a lot of responsibilities, but the most important of all is doing the will of God. The will which is eager to follow Christ is sometimes slow to be received. There's also the life of the Spirit of God, the law of liberty. You see, there are requirements for us as a Christian. You become a child of God, and you're not then on your own, but you have accepted a new commander-in-chief. He is Lord and Savior of your life. Not just Savior, he is Lord. And he gives us our marching orders, but he does it for our own good. He wants us to make heaven our home. A man must leave all, he must forsake all, is what Jesus is telling to be his disciple. God never comes next, never comes next. I've used this before, but there's a little illustration that I think really kind of fits the bill this morning. It's called church attendance. Many people have a feature on their television called the PIP, the picture in picture on the television. It means that you can look at your show at any time and then bring up a little screen in the corner. And that has another channel going, and you can watch a movie on the main screen and a football game on the little PIP screen. But the PIP is not the main show. The main show is what comes most on the screen, and the PIP is simply another show to glance at while you're watching the main show on the television. And he goes on to say, for many of us who attend church, the services is like a PIP experience. People go to church, they receive a PIP experience, and they receive spiritual information, hear spiritual truth, and sing spiritual songs. But it is not the main show. Instead, they have, that is, when they leave church, is when the main show really begins. And they go back to work, to family, to life. Back to the day-to-day struggles, Sunday morning is only a PIP experience, something people glance at while they're enjoying the main show. And I thought about that, And that is true with a lot of people. They come to church, maybe because they feel like they're obligated to come to church. Maybe they come to church because they know the preacher will be after them if they don't. I don't know why they come to church, but I want you to know that coming to church ought to be something you want to do out of your heart of love and devotion for Jesus Christ. It's not just a casual experience. Our souls are at stake. I'm going to tell you, there are people today that are turning against the Lord, and they're saying there is no God, and that movement is picking up steam. Brother, when they die, they're going to find out that everything they espoused was a lie, and they're going to have to account for God or to God and spend eternity in hell. Well, God never comes next. And then there's the unburied corpse. A certain man invited by our Lord to become his disciple said, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." Now, what's he saying? My father is old. I must take care of him until he dies, and then I'll bury him. And when that time comes, then, Lord, you're next. And I'm going to follow you. He could be called the dilatory disciple. There was intention in his life to delay the decision. You see, the first man, he was one that had some joy, and he was excited about telling the Lord, "I want to follow you." But this man had no courage. He was undecided. He had misgivings. The word of God was working in his heart, and there was even conviction that was there. But Jesus saw that the real need of his life, and he challenged him to do it. But there is the home, he argues. There's the father, the aged father. And the Bible does say that, "Are we not to honor our father and mothers, that our days be long upon the earth?" He is nearly, but not quite ready to follow the Lord. He said, "Lord, after I tend to the home, then Lord, you will be next." And I want to remind us all that Jesus is never going to be put in that category of being next. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added to you." Seek ye first his. He is first in our life. The Lord's reply, and this seems a little harsh, "Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Or let those that are spiritually dead bury those that are physically dead, but you go and do the will of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Now, Jesus is not hard-hearted, and he's using that as just an example to teach us the importance of him being first in our life. He doesn't want us not to love our family and care for our family. That's not what he's trying to say. But he's saying that he's got to be first. He's got to be first. You know, husband and wife, you know, when they get married, I ask them to repeat after me. I, and they give their name, take you, and give the wife's name, or wife-to-be. "To be my wedded wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish until death alone shall separate us." I say the same thing to the woman. "Will you take this man to be your wedded," or to the man, "will you take this one to be your wedded wife?" Wait a minute, I'll get it straight here. I, and the woman gives her name, takes the man to be my wedded husband, to have and to hold from this day forward. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, and to love and to cherish until death alone shall separate us. That is, I have names here. I always run off copies. And Quentin, this is yours and Gentry's wedding vows that I'm reading from here. But until death alone shall separate you. That's commitment, isn't it? Commitment. I commit that I'll be faithful to you. What would you do? Wife, if that man sitting next to you promised that I'll be faithful and good to you 5 days a week, that wouldn't work, would it? Well, it won't work with God either. You know, God, who is omniscient, that knows what's going on the inside, he knows all about us. We want to stand before him and be clean and pure through the blood of the Lamb of God. When anyone or anything comes first before Jesus, then he is not first, but then he'll never be last or next. And then finally, there's the unforsaken circle. The tender-hearted disciple says, I will follow thee, but let me go and bid them farewell which are at home at my Father's house. Let me go, Lord, first, and just tell them goodbye. Give my final adieu. And when this is taken care of, Lord, you're next. You're next. Now, we can all understand the attractions of home. You know, I go off on vacation or something. I can't hardly wait to get home. I have 2 or 3 days. I want to come home. And I come home and, you know, I'm familiar with our house. I love my bed. I love home. All of us do. We love our home. It's our haven of rest. But the Lord's reply was, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. My kingdom is no place for a man with his face pointed in one direction and his feet pointed in another. He said, I'm not taking anybody into heaven backwards. Pretty good, isn't it? Seek you first. And these things, what are these things? The things you need. Have you ever gone without? Has he ever failed you? No. He's always provided for you. He gives you the things you need. Seek you first. I'll take care of you if you'll do that. That's his promise. He does not fail. There's a time for taking care of dear ones. And if we don't provide for our own, then we're worse than an infidel. But there's a time and place for farewells. But remember, Jesus never comes next. Never comes next. Abraham was called of God. He was called the friend of God. He was the man of faith. God told him to sacrifice his son Isaac on the altar. Abraham was going to do it. It was not my son first. It was God first. God wanted to check him out to see if he was really faithful. And God checks you and me out too. Checks us out to see how we measure up. And when he was ready to plunge that knife into the life of his son and take it from him, the Lord stopped him and provided a sacrifice. And that's what he's done on the cross of Calvary. He's provided a sacrifice that we don't have to die. And then there was the rich farmer. He put property first. He put things first. He looked out over his field and said, boy, this is going to be a good year. He looked at his meager barn and said, they're not big enough. He says, what I'm going to do is going to tear them down, build me bigger barns to house all of my goods. And I'm going to say to myself, so you've got much goods laid up for many years, eat, drink, and be merry. But then God told him in the midst of the night, this night thy soul shall be required of you. And then whose shall all of those things that you provided, whose will they be? Hey, you'll leave it all behind. It is not a matter of suffer me first, but rather seek you first. Too many church members sit smugly in church on Sunday morning. Some close their eyes, others eye the close, and have a desire for a lot of other things that are put ahead of Christ. Some love their dogs and cats more than they love Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, that's the truth. Some love their animals. And you know, we all got our animals and we love them. But he's first. He never comes next. And so I asked you this morning, if he's not first in your life, make him first today. Make him first today. Come to the Lord and say, Father, I want you to be Lord of my life. I want you to be the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I want you, Lord, to be all in me. I want you as the great I am to take control of my life. I want you as the Lion of the tribe of Judah to come and take control and use me in your service until you're through with me. Then take me home. Take me home. Are you ready? Is he first in your life? If not, you need to come this morning and just kneel here at the altar and say, Lord Jesus, I want you to be first. I'm sorry that you haven't been first. And I repent of that this morning. And I ask you to make your will and you first in my life all the time. Let's bow for prayer.